In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. This is going to be a different kind of sermon. It is, you know, I want to make it very personal for all of us. And so it is going to be interactive. And by that, I mean, you know, for, you know, as I said earlier, it doesn't mean that, you know, every time I say something, you have to say amen or hallelujah or anything like that. But you all have a piece of paper, I take it. And if you have it, fold it in the middle. And those of you who have small pieces of paper, maybe, you know, that will... If you don't have it, please let me know and or raise your hand and it will get to you. And then using a pencil, I will ask you to write down the list of things that you need to do to get ready for Christmas. We have only 2.5 more weeks left, and today being the second Advent. And, you know, there are so many things to do to get ready for it, right? Yeah, some of you have already done everything and just now, you know, coasting for the event. But if you are like Susan and me, we haven't done anything yet. You know, we have cards to buy and send, and we have gifts to buy and wrap about that Christmas tree. We don't know whether we want to dust up that old one from the basement and then, or buy a new one. We don't know. And then to decorate. And decorate the house, and think about the parties that, you know, we are invited, or the school play that our children are involved. So these are so many different things, and so make a list of those things. You know, just write down. And you know, even while I'm talking, you know, please, you know, feel free to write down the list. By the way, this is for yourself. You are not going to share this with anybody else. And that way you are not going to embarrass yourself, you know. After you write it, you know, you can just fold it and put it in your pocket. And it will be a good reminder for things to do. And, you know, back when I was in grade school, preparations for Christmas didn't start until the schools closed for Christmas holidays for 2 weeks. And we could hardly wait for the last day of school. And those days we made our own decorations. You know, we didn't go and buy things. With streamers and sheets of colorful crepe papers, you know, we make different things and hang it. And then we would go to church for rehearsals, for pageant and drama and caroling and all that. It was fun. It was fun getting ready for Christmas, waiting in anticipation for Christmas. It's much more exciting than Christmas itself. I trust you guys are still writing your list. As a young boy, I never thought of Advent in any other way as a preparation for the birth of Jesus. But now I know Advent is more than that. It is simultaneously an anticipation of Jesus' second coming at the end of times. If it is only about the birth of baby Jesus, one would wonder why the scripture lessons of the four Sundays of Advent are on four last things of one's life: death, judgment, heaven, and hell, also known as the four last things anyone want to hear about. On this second Sunday of Advent, we are called to engage ourselves on the subject of God's judgment. We are challenged to encounter John the Baptist in the wilderness. He calls us to realize that we have sinned and we are in need of God's forgiveness. Now, back to the list. If you thought your part in the sermon is done by writing the to-do list for Christmas, it is not so. We have more things to do. Now I want us to write down on the other half of the sheet what kind of Christmas we are hoping for this year. You can be rather audacious about it. Dream big. What kind of day you want to have? What kind of relationship you're going to have, you're going to be part of? What kind of life you want to live this Christmas and even beyond? Maybe it is all that, you know, we are all healthy and sitting around the table and having, you know, Christmas dinner. Maybe it is sitting at the dinner and then not anybody making any embarrassing remarks or nasty comments on each other. Maybe it is just an anxiety-free Christmas that we are hoping for. Maybe it is that our loved ones are home from abroad and from fighting any wars. And, you know, your dreaming can go beyond your immediate wants and needs and your immediate family and, you know, to larger family, to community, to the country and the world. You know, perhaps reading the Isaiah prophecy, Isaiah's vision may be helpful for us to envision our own kingdom of God or our own, you know, the kind of ideal Christmas that we like to have. You know, I told you that we can be pretty audacious about it. You know, it is perhaps we can visualize the two political parties, the Democrats and Republicans, come together and work together for the common good. If the lion and the sheep can come together, they can definitely do that, right? Or how about the talking heads on MSNBC and Fox Channel come together and Christmas dinner together? You may be thinking that, you know, these are just pipe dreams. But we have witnessed in our own lifetimes big things. Berlin Wall came down. Iron Curtain lifted. China becoming part of the community of nations. And the removal of apartheid system of government in South Africa following the Truth and Reconciliation hearing championed by Nelson Mandela, who just died this past week, and Bishop Tutu. So continue to write as I talk. Between the past and the future lies the present. Between the enfleshment of God in Jesus in Bethlehem and the second coming of Christ in the future, we live an Advent life of longing and expectation today. It is a life of discipleship. It is a life of repentance and forgiveness. Two prophets, Isaiah and John, who lived 600 years apart from each other, give us a message of hope and repentance. Both prophets envision a universal horizon for salvation. Isaiah says, "On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples, and the nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious." And John warns the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "Do not presume to yourself, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." In other words, having an Abrahamic ancestry is not considered a privilege for admission into the kingdom of God. bearing fruit worthy of repentance is what is required. Inclusion in the kingdom of God is not based on descent from Abraham and belonging to Israel, but on our response to the call to decision, to baptism, and to the corresponding fruits, a fundamental representation of the life of discipleship in Jesus. In other words, everyone will be considered equal, and all will be on a level playing field. Now, let's go back to the exercise that we are on. The to-do lists. Let us take a look at it now and see how it matches with our visioning for Christmas, Christmas hope. Let us review the to-do list and circle those tasks that contribute directly to your own deep hopes and longings about your lives and the world. There may be many things on the list that are important in the short run and may not contribute to your larger vision and hope. Advent can serve us as a time to put things in perspective, to channel our energy and resources to those things that matter the most, to our families, to our communities, and to God. This Advent, friends, we are called to meet John the Baptist in the wilderness. We are challenged to go deeper into the meaning of repentance. For John, repentance is more than just saying, "I am sorry." Rather, it is about a reorientation, a turnaround, a new perspective, a new direction, a commitment to turn and live differently. John was a no-nonsense preacher. His call to us is not to define ourselves or limit our hopes based on our privilege or our piety, but rather to a larger dream and grander vision of a world by bearing fruits worthy of repentance. Maybe this Advent is going to be different for us. Maybe this Advent we will cross into the wilderness and encounter the baptizer. Maybe a little splashing of water on our face from the Jordan River will wake us up from our stupor. Are we willing today to step out of the familiar and well-trod paths and venture into something new and different? Are we open to write a new to-do list based on the deepest hopes and dreams of Christmas? And are we willing to take a new route, a new course of action, a new way of living, and thus to experience the joy of Advent, which will bring us to the glory and grace of God, represented in the babe in Bethlehem, the Word made flesh in Jesus Christ.